Brazen Hearts Fresh on Sticks. Hi, my name's Josie of the clan Skekern Big Osh. You've probably seen me around the West Side Mall or in the courtyard because I'm a heartmonger. So you've probably heard me yelling, Brazen Hearts Fresh on Sticks. Now, I suppose you wouldn't have seen me around because if anyone had recognized a human around there, they would have torn you apart. Well, you must have met my dad or my uncle. They harvest free-range humans. They make raids into human settlements. Or you might have seen their corporate logo on the flag before they brought it down on your head. It would say, the Skekern Brothers Carnage Distributors Limited. I don't know why I'm telling you all this when you're going to be all, probably not all ground up. They'll harvest the valuable sweetmeats and drumsticks. And we'll grow your heart if it's big enough, but most of the rest, you know, it's easiest to just grind the arms and bones and torso. I'll let you in on a little trade secret. We advertise Brazen Hearts Fresh on Sticks, but, you know, they're fresh and on sticks. How can we really confirm which ones are most brazen? And plus, my Uncle Ginchy thought brazen meant they were cooked on a brazier. And it works. People still want to buy Brazen Hearts. People think brazen like feisty. If it's a cowering animal, I'm not even sure what you people eat. What, dwarves or something? Like if someone said, here's a dwarf hand, and he was all crying and whining when we cut it off, and you'd say, this doesn't appeal to me. But like if it was a fist, maybe he had an axe in his hand when we cut it off him, you know he was feisty, and like, I don't know, plenty of blood running through his fist. It's not going to be deprived of oxygen or orgone or the lesser humors, whatever. I don't know how it's, people just think it tastes better. You want boring hearts, old wimpy hearts? This guy died of a heart attack? No, you want it on a battlefield, you know, torn, bleeding from a warrior king. Anyway, I'm sure we'll find uses for all your parts, but don't worry about it. But I got to tell you about this in the courtyard this afternoon. You wouldn't believe the tusks on this bastard. I know there's stigma between goblins that hook up with hobgoblins, but I feel safe telling you this because I know you're going to be eaten piece by piece. But I mean, you never see the smaller beings, you know, the ones that use bones for tools and whatnot, the hill people. You never see them with an axe or a pick where a goblin tooth is tied to the main focus of the weapon. I mean, the longest you see on a goblin is what, 3 inches long. I mean, they'll use them to poking out of clubs, but it's more like a little spike. It's not like the main focus, like I said. But with hobgoblin tusks, they get 4, 5, 6 inches. I seen a guy with an 8-inch tusk that grew back in towards his eye socket. He had to get it filed down every so often. That's the kind of thing humans are proud to use in headdresses or necklaces or just the whole weapon is one of those tusks tied to a stick. Now you got yourself a weapon. But this hobgoblin I saw today was stomping into the courtyard. He had an entourage of like, well, he had one guy, he had one kind of a troglodyte squire, and this talking llama with fangs, which I don't know, I'm not sure if it's a llama or alpaca, but it wasn't really big enough to be his steed, so I'm thinking it was part of the entourage. I mean, the thing was talking back to him. He paid more attention to the llama than he did to the troglodyte. Anyway, so I was all, good morning, sire. Would you like a brazen heart? Fresh. On a stick. He had some foamy drool on the edge of his one jowl. He looked at me while he was doing this, which, I mean, I was... He was wiping it off with his hand, looking at me, and then he wiped it down the front of my tunic. Which, you know, in our culture is kind of... I liked it, but it's not really the way. I'm not sure how things are supposed to go with humans, like how potential mates confirm interest in each other. Goblinoid culture, you really want to get him to spit directly on you or bite you. It's really more of an insult to wipe your sputum on somebody. I mean, I kind of took it like there's spit involved, and it's coming toward me, and he put it there very knowingly. So to me, that's as good as if he had propelled it through the air onto me. But technically, it's not something like traditionalists, like some of my surviving aunts, would not have taken it to mean that they had been accepted into his hearth or that they should be start knitting booties or anything. I'm a romantic, so I took it as an indication that he wanted me. Anyway, so this troglodyte that came along behind him pushed me down and started clawing through my basket of hearts. I fought him back as part of the negotiating process. You know, making an offer shows that you're weak. You don't have the courage to take things you want. So the usual process is one beast shows his interest in a product by attacking or just taking the product. The seller counters this by taking as much of the customer's possessions or coins as possible. You basically have a duel. And if all goes well, the customer and seller both survive with the product they wanted and the best price that could be gotten for it. So anyhow, I ended up stabbing him in the forearm and getting $4 out of his shirt pocket before he got away from me, and he managed to take 2 hearts on sticks. That's a reasonable deal. I think I got the better of it slightly. I asked him what the big guy's name was, but I don't get troglodyte language at all. He was just blah, 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 blah. He made some noise, you know. Foreigners. God. But anyway, the alpaca, I'm still not sure. He introduced himself. His name was Brett, this speaking quadruped, whatever he was, llama, alpaca, whatever. Brett told me the master's name was Hog. And he talked normal like this the rest of the time, Brett did. So I assume when he threw it out like that, like Hog, that was the accurate pronunciation of the hobgoblin's name, like in, what, I don't know, hobgoblin language, you know. Anyway, so, I'm restrained. I'm a little more, I'm shy, you know. I don't pursue it the way some ladies do. It's why I don't mate as often as the rest of the girls. I try to go through the motions, but without, you know, I don't want to be forward about it. You're supposed to rip his pants off or pull his tunic up over his head so he can't see and so it traps his arms. Humans do that too, don't they, when hockey players are trying to mate? Then if you get his interest enough, you know, then it's going to happen. But I'm more, Dad claims that my mother was human, which, I mean, you know, it's just an insult. I'm not sure if it's true or not. Was it, I can't remember if it was Uncle Phil? I don't know. Somebody consumed her at some point after I was born. I'm sure it was a rough couple of decades at Thanksgiving when the family got together, you know, hi, Ginchy, hi, K-Rock, hi, Phil, thanks for devouring my mate, Phil. But they patched things up. They had to see each other every day at work, so you get over it. So naturally, anytime I do anything unusual or disobey the clan or the traditions, they want to say it's because I'm half human. So I don't know if that explains my shyness or if it's the way I was raised. I mean, Dad wasn't a great explainer about dating or menses or stuff like that. He'll tell you all about field dressing a long pig, the right mix for brine when you need pickled hog farmer's feet. Not so much with the lady stuff. So I don't go for that kind of, I'm more reserved. So I tried to start pronouncing his name. Sr-hog. Sr-hog. And undoing his belt buckle, loosening his belt, and he coughed on me, which was great. For a minute I thought he was spitting on me. Some came out, you know, and got me on the ear. And it was so warm. But then he backhanded me with the same hand that he had wiped the drool off. And I was out like a lamp. I was laying in a heap against the wall of the courtyard when I woke up. I kind of checked my tunic and breeches, but they weren't torn or anything. I wasn't sore, so I don't think he was in the mood to mate after he knocked me out. However, there was a dirty rag on top of my basket of hearts. He had left me alive, plus he had covered up my hearts so they wouldn't get too many flies, plus he didn't steal any of the hearts. I think he likes me. Anyways, thanks for listening to me. Your head is pretty good size, so we might get a better price for that raw and separate than if we ground it into the Hume burger. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to pray to my grandmothers. I like to include all of them, even if some of them are human. And I'll ask them to catch your soul when it crosses over and try to force it into the body of some other human in your same old settlement, like maybe one of your siblings or cousins. Then when we catch that body in raids next week, I can tell you more about how things are progressing between me and Hog. Ready? Here it comes. Kiss, kiss. You've been listening to the first episode of Brazen Hearts, Fresh on Sticks, by Robert Thomas Northrup. If you like this story, you'll want to get my collection of short stories, Dungeons and Day Jobs, which you can find on Amazon. But I get a little more profit if you order it through my website. It's evilbobdayjob.tripod.com. No spaces or hyphens or punctuation other than the dots. evilbobdayjob.tripod.com. Or you can search for the title, Dungeons and Day Jobs, or for my name, Robert Northrup. You'll find a realtor in San Diego and a few other Rob Northrups, but eventually you'll find my stories and website. Yeah, see which of those other Rob Northrups write good stories, or any stories. Okay, if you don't want to buy the book, you can find other fiction and articles and rants at the same website, free, and you can subscribe to the podcasts of Brazen Hearts Fresh on Sticks. I might include some past stories from Lucky's Radio Theater at some point in the future, and you will enjoy it. This was recorded February 28, 2006. Lord only knows when it'll go live. Please consider this story and sound to have a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. That's a kind of half-assed copyright, but it's legal. You can copy this, change it. You have my permission to try to make money off it, but only if you give props to the original goblin who made it, that's Robert Northrup, and only if you use the same Attribution Share Alike license on your derivative work. So any other idiot can try to sell it off of you. So take that. I love you still, but anyway. Until next time, keep keeping it fresh, and are you done with that stick?